This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
It is our 100th show since we've started in the time slot.
100 shows. Mama, we here.
Do you have a moment from the first 100 shows that you look at? You're like, that's my moment.
It has to be the thermometer.
I am thermometer boy right now. How about when you guys cheated on The Price is Right?
You're a cheater! You're a cheater! Nobody guesses 98.
That was a good one.
I think Rossini was good too.
Diana, I have been lurking. Online lurking. There's nothing wrong with it. I stand by that.
This is DCR.
I'm going to pull off a Lawrence Tynes. I'm going to put those suckers all over the place.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Well, it's the big 6 o'clock hour. DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. Time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I can now announce the huge news for the 7 o'clock hour this morning, right?
It's time, yep.
Okay. This is big. This is big. Knicks Hawks game one tickets coming your way in the 7 o'clock hour this morning.
Let's go.
Knicks Hawks game one tickets coming your way in the 7 o'clock hour this morning.
That's serious business.
That is no
messing around. You can't get tickets to that game.
No, 15,000 fans will be packed to the gills at Madison Square Garden.
Like that kind of party.
How about Santi? I say the announcement and then he plays the drum roll.
I think it's a better effect from Santi.
You like it
he's
after?
Got, listen, he's got his hands full. He's trying to produce a song. Like, there's a lot going on with Santi right now. Give him a break.
Why do you always attack the guys behind the glass, Dave? Like, this
well,
is
it's, I think it was their finest
it's habitual.
I'll tell you why.
At this point, it's on brand. Let's just let Dave do what he does. Yeah. He's that guy, and you gotta let him do what he does
I'm
to be Dave
Rothenberg.
I'm
an island here. If I see a weakness in anyone, I'm going to go after them.
You're not on an island. You're on a team with four other people.
No,
be a good teammate.
No, you guys are all out to get me.
It would do you some good to be on an island. You don't look like a man on no island.
he needs to go Tom Hanks.
Yeah. It must be an all-inclusive island that you're on.
Yeah, one where he can wear swim shirts, Rico.
Exactly right.
Oh, it's an SUV protected shirt.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. That's another good moment, though, when New Jersey Diet just went straight after you. Don't be that guy that wears the T-shirt in the pool.
Yeah,
right. They put it in the copy.
Yeah, let's really cater this to Rothenberg. I heard Kate do the read one time. Don't be that guy this summer. You know, the guy that wears the T-shirt in the pool. Mine's more of a swim shirt, but okay.
I wear a swim shirt.
Yeah, I stand by the swim shirt. By the way, I'm sure you have the rundown, so you'll know. But guess who's coming up on Greeny this morning at 10:15?
Oh, Greeny. This is a
Greeny
10:15. Let me think. Greeny 10:15. Don't know.
Okay. All right. Let's play a little game here. Greeny 10:15. Ask some questions. What would you like?
Greeny 10 sport.
No. No, not an
Kyle Higashiyoshi. Kyle Higashiyoshi.
I don't think it's him.
Not an athlete. Not Kyle Higashiyoshi.
Kulani Sutaki.
No.
That's not Sutaki.
Not Sutaki.
It's not a sport. You can't give me the sport?
It's not sport related? I would say baseball most related to, but I
last year you had to buy out Alex Rodriguez. I don't think it's him either.
Not Alex Rodriguez. No.
You're get right. a rating!
Sports related, but not really.
Get a rating!
Not really.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Get a rating!
You have no idea.
No, I have no idea. I'm trying to cheat with it. It's not on the rundown.
It's not on the rundown, so he can't cheat. Yeah.
Get a rating!
Yep. No idea.
Oh, it's Mad Dog.
Yeah, there you go.
Why is Mad Dog going on Greeny?
Great question.
It's a big spot. Don't deflect well, why the fact would you that, go on, that RJ's why playing you go on Mad Dog over and over and over. You have no idea who it is.
Well, obviously, because I didn't. Why would that make sense? That make any sense to me?
Oh, stop. But he played it for you five times.
I understand that.
Well, he was sitting there trying to think about it, Dave. He wasn't paying attention to the drop.
That he played over and over and
well,
over.
Well, he wasn't paying. Well, what do you want me to say? You just badgered Santiago for playing things out of place, out of context, and then, you know, you throw that in there right there. Rick is not paying attention to
you
that.
You know when you go to a diner and you can sip up by the flat top? What is that called?
The counter?
The counter?
Yeah, the counter.
I'm trying to defend you, Rico. It's not going very well.
I appreciate that, see.
It's not going very well. I'm trying to be a good teammate, unlike Dave Rothenberg.
That could be my favorite moment of the first 100. This great. You lead us there. What do they call that thing? The flat top? What is it? Oh,
you know when you go to a diner and you can sit up by the flat top? What is that called?
The counter?
Counter?
Yeah, the counter.
Yes. That is so good. Oh, my God, is that good.
They're one of the better defensive teams in the National Basketball League. Why? I don't know. That's another one. We go National Basketball
NBL, baby. NBL.
The counter one has to be. The counter one has to be.
Oh, man.
All right, let's take a listen to Charles Barkley. He was on, as we heard, ESPN yesterday. He says, and I don't even know that I agree with this, but let's listen and then we'll discuss it. Title or bust for the Nets this year?
Brooklyn is a team. They're under the most pressure. They manufactured that team together. James bullied his way out of Houston. The Brooklyn Nets are the team that's under the most pressure. They have to win the championship or bust.
True.
And they're under the most pressure out of any team in the NBA. When you got those three guys, it's championship or bust, plain and simple.
I would say they have to win a title at some point, but to say they have to win a title this year, I would say NBA Finals has to happen this year for them.
I would agree with that. As long as they get to the NBA Finals. I mean, if all of a sudden they make this run to the NBA Finals and they lose to, let's just say it's the Lakers, the defending champs, I wouldn't be horrified with that.
No.
I don't know, guys. I feel like they got to get there and they got to win it. I do. I mean, if you're not... It's a lot of pressure, and it's hard to say that you got to win a championship or it's a failed season. But with the way that they constructed this team, and James Harden shooting his way out of town, and then you look at the contracts that those three guys have, and knowing that guys got options after next season, I just feel like if they don't win it this year, it's going to put a lot of pressure on them going into that 2021-2022 season, and there's no guarantees that they're going to be able to keep this roster together beyond that year. So, I mean, for me, it's like this Brooklyn Nets team, they need to take advantage of this season. And with the Lakers kind of on shaky ground because of the injuries, like they got to be able to finish the drill this year.
So they don't win the championship, it's a failed season for Brooklyn.
If they don't win a championship this year, Dave, I think there's a good chance that this team won't actually win a championship at all. As constituted.
I will tell you, if they don't win a championship, this has been a horrendous run for Brooklyn. They absolutely have to win a title. But I'm not going to go as far as saying if they don't win it this year that it would be a failed season.
Yeah, I would agree with Dave. I disagree with Candy. I think there's no reason to believe that if they don't win, they get to the finals, that they won't be back in the finals next year.
Well, there is a reason to believe for that, Rico. They've only played 8 games together this year. That's the point.
Is that how many? LeBron goes down to Miami. They didn't win a championship in year one.
No, I understand that, Rico. But what I'm saying is these guys are a lot further along in their careers than when LeBron James went down to Miami. They're older. And when you get older, you don't stay healthier. So if they couldn't stay healthy in year one, and they've only played 8 games together this season, I mean, if you've got everybody healthy right now going into the playoffs, you might want to try to take advantage of that because there's no guarantee that those guys are going to be able to stay healthy next year.
Chris, there's never any guarantee for that.
No, I understand there's never any guarantee for that, but right now you have an opportunity. I mean, right now in the Eastern Conference, I'm looking at the Bucks. They're kind of shaky. You look at the 76ers, we don't really trust them. So, I mean, it's just like it feels like they have a clear path to the NBA Finals.
Well, I agree with that.
This is one of those situations where you have these types of opportunities to win championships. You got to take advantage of them.
But you're telling me they lose a tight game 7 to the Lakers in the finals and you wake up the next morning like, boy, that was a failed season. I don't see it like that. I think if they don't get to the finals, epic failure.
Okay.
Get to the finals and lose a close series – I don't think it's a failure.
Well, I hear what you're saying, Dave. I look at this group of guys, knowing the kind of personalities that they do have in that locker room, and if things don't go according to plan, if they don't win a championship, I mean, the scrutiny on this team, on those individual players, is just going to be ratcheted up. And going into another season, going into next year, knowing that the guys can move on after that season, I just feel like that's another layer, that's more pressure that you're dumping onto this Nets team. I just feel like they have a golden opportunity this year, And they got to take advantage of it.
Let's hear from Kevin Durant. Do you consider yourself the favorites to win the championship this year?
Players don't think about stuff like that. You know, we know that's your job and that's how y'all view stuff. But we know how tough it is to play this game every day, and we in here every day. So we got a different vantage point to y'all. So I understand with the stuff on paper and how teams look and, you know, how accomplished the players on our teams are. But for us, we respect the game and our opponents too much to come in and say, look, we expected to win this. Nah, we coming out there and understand that we can't be beat if we don't lock in. So we got a good opportunity with a lot of great players on this team that mix well with each other, but we still got to go out there and do the work.
Of course they got to go out there and do the work, but I'm sure he knows that in Vegas they're the odds-on favorite to win this thing. They know that they're the favorites to win.
I can honestly say that I would have a hard time believing that he knows they're the Vegas favorites.
You don't think so?
I don't think he cares.
No, I don't think he cares. I think he probably knows. Well, yeah, but I mean, but that's a common misconception from everybody, right? Is like, you know, that fans and media have, you know, higher expectations or, you know, are harder on players than players are actually harder on themselves. Like a professional athlete has higher expectations for himself and his team than any fan or media member has. It is more harsh with how they evaluate their play than any person outside of him or her, which is exactly why sometimes it becomes too much with the media, because you're already mentally destroying yourself, and now all of a sudden the media jumps on and the fans jump on, and it becomes sometimes too much to handle. You get to this level because you're your hardest critic. So he knows. They know what the expectation is. That's why they brought the team together. I mean, Kyrie's talking about how they brought this thing. So, you know, maybe you won't realize it now, but this thing, the way we brought this thing together is for, you know, this higher purpose and this special meaning.
Oh, God.
It's to win a championship.
Will you root against them?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. I find them to be very unlikable.
Yeah, but you want to see them in the NBA Finals, though, Dave. You'll root for them to get to the NBA Finals. Because you want to see them. You don't want to see Sixers Lakers. You don't want to see Bucks Lakers
too. I don't want anything for Philadelphia to have success. But you're right. I will root for them to get to the NBA Finals, and I will root for the Clippers or
Lakers. Go ahead and root for the Lakers. Yeah, you can go ahead and say it. Root for the Lakers.
I have no issue with the Lakers. I like LeBron, but my issue would be with the Jazz. If the Jazz go to the NBA Finals against the Nets, then
yeah, because the video gets released.
Yeah, then I'm up against.
Oh, please, come on, Joe Ingles. Come on, Joe Ingles.
then I'm really up against it.
You should mention too. You haven't mentioned this yet. Another little thing that Knicks fans should know. I'm not sure if they've seen this or not. We got for the awards. Now, the coach has already voted for the coach
improved?
Of the year. No, you got most improved with Julius.
Mm-hmm.
Sixth man of the year finalist, Derrick Rose. And you got Tibbs.
You think Derrick Rose can get it over Jordan Clarkson?
No. I don't think so, no.
No. The fact that Randall's going to get most improved.
Oh, no question
Randall's
about it.
If he doesn't win most improved, I'm going to
Who's he up against? Michael Porter and who else?
Oh my God! I can see his face in my head. Jeremy Grant. Who had a good season too. Grant had a good season too.
But they stunk. That has to go to Randall.
But they stunk. He has to. Because he's got the winning too.
It has to be Randall.
Yeah, with the winning, his improvement has led to winning.
Yeah. It has to go to Randall.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
What time will you be releasing your single later this morning, Rick?
I'm not sure yet. We're cutting it up.
In my the producer, 7 o'clock hour, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the hope. Yeah, 7 o'clock hour. We'll do
the hope. I mean, if not in the 7 o'clock hour, then when?
Maybe we decide just to barrel right through. We go 8 o'clock hour.
No, I don't think we have a green license to take over the 8
o'clock. No, listen, I'll make a phone call. Listen, Han, this is the Hunter Show. You take a back seat.
Oh,
you and KJZ push over for a minute. Give us the extra hour. Then we can pick you guys up at 9.
I'd like to hear that call take place.
I'll make the call right now. I'll sit Carlin after Harlan. After Allen.
Carlin after Harlan.
Yeah, those are not easy to say back-to-back like that.
Carlin after Han.
Yeah, like they're pretending like, oh, look, it's Carlin and Jay Will taking pictures together and everything
right.
else.
That was fugazi,
that's not dead.
Right?
Yeah, that's all fugazi.
Yeah, that was just for show. All right, so how about this story? A Florida doctor who died of COVID-19 complications left his family with a sports card collection that has now been estimated to be worth more than $20 million. Among the prize collectibles is a rare 1933 Babe Ruth card that could become the most expensive card ever sold. This is Dr. Thomas Newman. He assembled a collection for over four decades before he died in January, according to the Memory Lane Auctions release. Some of the sports memorabilia dates back to the 1880s.
Wow.
So if you inherit that, he leaves it all to you, Rick. Do you sell it or do you save it as a keepsake because this is was this guy's passion in life?
You sell it.
You sell it.
Yeah, you sell it. Unfortunately, you have to pay.
I mean, goodbye. Goodbye.
You'll lose 50% of it, but yeah, you sell it. What are you going to save it for?
Take it. Take it. Well, I mean, it was this man's passion.
Yeah, but isn't this the time?
Like he dies and you're just
No.
Immediately selling this?
Well, he's giving you the stuff so you can benefit from it. Is there a better time than right now with how crazy cards and all that stuff is going right now? Wouldn't this be the time to sell it?
I guess, but
do you think it's a bubble, though? Would it go away, or would it just continue to appreciate with value?
You think a 1933 Babe Ruth is going to all of a sudden just plummet? I think you're going to sell it for a lot of money, regardless of when.
Okay, so I mean, either you're going to hold on to it, and you're going to keep passing it on and on and on, or you're going to take advantage of having the stuff now and take the money.
Well, you're
and
cold.
Better your life.
Well,
now.
I think he's going to sell it, Dave.
Like, yeah, I can tell he's going to sell it.
He's going to sell it. Yeah,
no feelings at all.
Not
you should
at
see
all.
How much stuff Cassie's dad's. He's cleaning out the his guest area with all his memorabilia. His collection is insane.
Why doesn't he sell it?
Well, he's going to give it to. He's going to pass it along to.
Well, you
to
know
Milo.
He'll sell it. We know he'll leave it to you. It'll be gone.
At some point, you're going to sell
Milo,
it.
Please.
Well, listen. At some point, you're going to have to sell it. He's got every Super Bowl MVP autograph on a helmet.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Wait, so every year he gets the next... Wow.
Every year he gets the team's helmet, and then it's signed by the Super Bowl MVP.
You got to get that.
Nice.
You get your hands coming. On it. You sell that right away when he moves
Dude,
on.
Dude, it's by the way, too, like to get some of these autographs, like unless you... Like especially now, like to get Tom Brady's autograph, what they charge for it, and it's like different pricing, too. Like if you want Tom Brady to sign something without his number, it's one price. If you want him to include his number, it's like...
Wait, so just that if he puts the number 12 on it, it's a different price?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Yes, like substantially more money for him to put the number on it.
So is it like $1,000 to get him to sign something? How much does it cost?
I think it's like, I want to say like 12, I want to say it's like $1,200.
What?
God.
For
him
to sign something.
I thought I was being ridiculous when I threw that out there.
2 seconds?
Yeah, 2 seconds. But he's signing a lot of stuff, obviously. So it's, I think it's like $1,200 for the autograph. And then
and how about if you put the 12 in there?
That's like an extra. Ooh, that's a lot more because then that turns it up to. I want to say
grand?
Three. I want to say like $3,000.
Oh my god!
What?
For the number 12.
Yeah, like number 12. If you wanted to put like Super Bowl MVP stuff like that, yeah, like that's all extra.
Oh my gosh!
Wow, can you imagine that?
That's.
Did you hear? Did you guys hear? It's a great promo for Nets tickets for the postseason. Have you heard this from James Harden? By the way,
I have, Dave. But you got to play it for the people.
It's really good. I'm telling you, this was one take. He said, "I don't care what it turns out like. I'm doing it one time." Here is James Harden promoting Nets playoff tickets.
What's up, Nets fans? It's James Harden. For a limited time, I'll cover half of your tickets. We got to get Barclays Center rocking. All right, go get your tickets now. Use the code Harden. You dig?
It's so forced.
That was
you
terrible.
You dig? No, we don't.
That was
we
awful.
Don't. We don't. Terrific basketball player, terrible at commercials. Who knew? Who knew?
Well, what's worse, the commercial?
They can't even fill the building up.
Well, yeah, that's the what's worse is doing it on one take, or the fact that he has to incentivize people to buy tickets to the game.
No, the commercial is worse, Rico, because if the arena wasn't filled, no one would know the difference. You know why? Because we're still in COVID world. Nobody knows the restrictions that they're going to put on the building. People would just kind of pass it off as, oh, it's not filled because of COVID. But that commercial is terrible.
This is the most talented team in the world, and they can't sell out playoff games? And there's conversation of who's more popular, the Knicks or the Nets? Can we put that to rest forever at this very moment?
We should be able to, Dave.
Right?
Yeah, it's glaring at this point. Like, there's more interest in the Knicks than the Nets. Doesn't matter how good they are. This is always going to be a Knicks town.
I think it's a Knicks town, period, though. Of all the sports, I think it's a Knicks town.
Of every team here?
Now, where would you put the Knicks? I mean, we get more. Like when the, even when the Knicks are bad,
they're right there.
I've been doing this for, I mean, not as long as you've been doing this, but for New York, I mean, this is, you mentioned, you know, Yankees, Mets, Giants, Jets, any of those teams.
See, I think anytime you haven't won in forever, it like Rangers in 94 was as frenetic as I've ever seen the city. I think if the Jets made a Super Bowl, it would be wild.
No, it would be wild. You're right. Yeah, of course it would be wild because, I mean, it's been that long. But I'm saying just in general, like on a day-to-day basis.
The most passionate fan base, I think the Knicks are there.
What are you going to talk about today? You mentioned Melo, phones lit up. You mentioned anything about the Knicks, phones always lit up.
Yeah, and this is a fan base that's been dragged through the mud for almost a decade now. And still, when you have the opportunity to discuss them, they want to discuss them. It's a great fan base.
The building is going to be insane on Sunday night.
I cannot wait for that game. I cannot wait for that game.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Frank Isola here on 98.7 ESPN. Good morning, Frank. How you doing, buddy?
Boys, what's up? How you guys doing?
We are very excited. We are very excited for the NBA postseason, which is kind of starting this week and kind of gets rolling in full force tomorrow. All right, let me ask you, for the Knicks to win this series, is it as simple as if you slow down Trae Young, they will win it, or does it go much deeper than that in your mind?
Yeah, that has a lot to do with it. I think they're also a little worried about him drawing fouls. He's really good at that, where he'll beat the defender, and then all of a sudden he'll kind of stop, let the defender run into him, and he's flopping all over the court. And I thought it was interesting. Nate McMillan already started in with the league, wanting the Knicks to be in it because of marketing and all this other stuff. So he's already trying to play games with the referees in the league office. And I think the Knicks at some point will probably counter with, you know, the referees can't just buy all these fouls that that Trae Young is trying to draw. He's very good at doing that. They have a lot of offensive firepower, the Atlanta Hawks, and they also have a very good bench. You know, I think the Knicks got to where they were because they played hard every night in a league where this season, I'm not sure every team and every star really brought it every night. Playoffs is a little bit different. A lot of times in the playoff, talent wins out. I do think the Hawks have more talent, but I think the Knicks defensively, the fact that they have home court advantage, I think I could definitely see them getting through this series.
Frank, how much stock do you put in the lack of experience on both sides in this series?
I mean, I think there's a little something to it, but I think the good thing for the Knicks is that, you know, toward the end of the season, they wanted to finish fourth, so they were playing games that certainly mattered, and Tom was putting his, you know, the foot to the pedal and really stretching these guys. I think what's really going to help the Knicks is this time off between games. I think it gives Tom Thibodeau a lot of time to prepare. You know, everybody knows that the Knicks, when they go into a lot of these games, are more prepared than most teams. I think experience, I think in other series, it could be a factor. I think the fact that really both teams don't have that much experience, I think it kind of evens out. And I think that's why the way the season ended, and I think the Knicks owe, you know, a debt of gratitude to the Milwaukee Bucks for playing out the season and beating the Miami Heat, which is the reason right now that the Knicks are going to have home court advantage. And I think that more than anything will be important.
Frank, the last few weeks, the conversation about Elfrid Payton's struggles has grown louder and louder and louder. Do you think that Tibbs needs to make a change this series in the starting lineup, or should he stay as is in terms of his formula?
Yeah, Chris, I think what Tom likes to do, first of all, Tom bases a lot on defense, and I just think he likes the balance of bringing Derrick Rose in as a backup. So I think he likes the fact that Elfrid Payton defensively can do a pretty good job on starting guards. You know how it works, too? You know, if Elfrid Payton picks up two fouls in the first quarter, it's not really that big of a deal. If you were to start, say, Derrick Rose and he picks up two fouls, now you're a little worried how that could play out over the course of the game. So I don't think – I know Tom has, been a big defender of Elfrid Payton. I would still expect him to start. I think what's more important to the team is how they're going to finish the games, and obviously Julius Randle is going to be out there, and certainly Derrick Rose because Tom really trusts him, and then the rest will just be – on kind of a game feel. But from everything that I gather, I don't expect them to change that.
Frank Isola with us here breaking down the NBA postseason on 98.7 ESPN. So, you know, Frank, the Knicks have been a really, really good home team the entire season with really no home crowd. We've seen 5,000 at the Garden. We thought it was going to be 13. Now it's going to be 15,000. That's a big number. I mean, there's going to be a real home court impact for the Knicks in this series, isn't there?
I definitely think it will be. I mean, so first of all, you have fans who are going to see playoff games for the first time. What was the year, 2013, whatever it was, 2012. And so you have that at work. And then you also have the fact that they really haven't been in the Garden in more than a year, you know, a crowd of that size. And now it's the playoffs. So I think the fans are going to play a huge factor. And I also think, you know, if you look at last year in the bubble, and I think one of the reasons Miami had success, Miami's obviously a very good team, but you look at a lot of the young players on that team, whether it was Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, Kendrick Nunn, like those guys never had to go on the road. You know, so they would have been the team that would have started all four of their series last year on the road. They never had to go to Boston and face like a hostile crowd in Boston. You know, they didn't go to Milwaukee, which, you know, they have a great building there, a small, you know, nice size arena where the fans get into it. I thought that was a huge advantage. And I think going into this series, I think for the Atlanta Hawks, think about all the young guys, and that includes Trae Young. I think, you know, Madison Square Garden is going to be on fire on Sunday when the Knicks take the court. I mean, the fans, just, you know, they've been waiting a long time for this. And it's almost a way for them to celebrate the team for everything that they've accomplished. Even though they've had fans there, you haven't had the magnitude of the crowd you're going to get for game one.
All right, Frank, before we switch to the Nets, give me your prediction of the series.
I think the Knicks will win. I think it might go. I think it could go seven. I think Tom will figure out a way. I think, you know, I think defensively the Knicks are tough enough. Remember one thing about, I've always been a big Tom supporter. I don't want to sound like his biggest cheerleader. But Tom once won a game seven on the road with the Chicago Bulls, and he had Nate Robinson as his starting point guard. Like, Tom knows kind of how to get through these series. I just think somehow, some way, the Knicks will advance to the second round.
Frank, I played for Bill Parcells, so I know that coaches are sometimes complimentary of opponents. There's a little bit of gamesmanship there. But then there's what Brad Stevens has been doing the last couple of days and talking about the Celtics matching up against the Nets, how he doesn't see the Nets not winning a championship. Does it strike you all as odd that he's kind of going on and waxing poetic about the Brooklyn Nets?
Yeah, he's smart, because you have to put all the and all the pressure is on the Brooklyn Nets, and it's a smart thing to do, because without Jaylen Brown, I don't know how the Celtics, maybe they could take one game. But say this about Brad Stevens. If you look at what they did to Washington the other night, it wasn't even so much offensively with Jason Tatum. They play really well defensively. So Brad having a lot of time, you know, he's had the extra days to prepare for the Brooklyn Nets on Saturday. You know, he'll have his team ready. Whether or not they have enough to win, I just don't see it. If you look, they played three times this year. The Nets blew them out twice. And then the third time they played, Kevin Durant didn't play, James Harden didn't play, and Kyrie Irving went 4-for-19, and the Nets still found a way to win the game. So I just think the Nets have too much firepower. And in that game, the last game that the Nets beat them, when Kyrie didn't have the good shooting game, Kyrie defensively was guarding on a bunch of possessions Jason Tatum, and Kyrie was getting after. And I think I said this to you guys, after the game, that's when Steve Nash was asked about Kyrie as a defender, and he said, hey, when he's engaged, he could be an excellent defender, which I took as like a little dig at Kyrie, but it was also pretty interesting because Kyrie got after it that game. So he wasn't getting it done offensively, but he made a huge impact. I get what Brad Stevens is doing. It's smart. Put all the pressure on the rookie head coach and Steve Nash, put all the pressure on the team that it's really a championship or bust year. It's, in a lot of ways, though, it's almost the actions of a desperate man.
Frank Isola with us here, 98.7 ESPN. We heard Charles Barkley earlier in the show say if the Nets don't win the championship this year, it's a failed season. Rick and I think if they don't get to the NBA Finals, it's a subpar year. Chris thinks agrees with Barkley. Where do you fall in this conversation?
I think definitely getting to at least an NBA Finals, it's not going to be a success, because when you get players of, you know, the caliber, especially if Kevin Durant, I think a guy like Kevin Durant, that's how he measures himself. And I think it's the same thing with LeBron James. Fair, unfair, that's just the way it is. That's how they have to be measured. I will say this for Kevin Durant. If you think about it from his standpoint, you know, I was up in Toronto on that day. I believe it was June 10th of 2019 when he blew out his Achilles. You know, Saturday is going to be the first playoff game he's essentially played in 2 years. And the guy, the great players like Kevin Durant, they live for these moments. And the last two times that Kevin Durant has been healthy and in the NBA Finals, his, not only has his team won, but he's been the Finals MVP. And I think when he gets out there on Saturday, I really think it's going to be the culmination of two really long years, or there have been times where you have to question whether or not he'd ever get back to this point. And I think that he's got, you know, I think the only thing he's thinking about is 16 wins. And when you do what he did, you leave a great team like Golden State to come to Brooklyn, you leave Steph Curry, and you want to join up with Kyrie Irving, and James Harden forces his way out. He's got, like, there's only one satisfactory result. And I will say this about those guys. I think they kind of understand that. There's not going to be any excuse. You're not going to be able to blame anybody. I want to hear about Steve Nash being a rookie head coach. You got great players. You guys won 48 games. You only played together 8 times. Now get it done.
Frank, last question for me about the Nets. I know that we don't talk a lot about the long-term future of the Big Three in Brooklyn, but those guys, after the next season, have player options in those contracts. So how far would winning a championship this year go to securing their long-term future in Brooklyn?
Yeah, I'm always so bad at that. I thought, like, once Kawhi Leonard won a championship in Toronto, I figured he would stay. And, you know, LeBron winning championships, I thought maybe he'd stay in Miami. Same thing with Cleveland. I think all bets are off. I think, you know, the NBA is a lot like international, you know, European soccer, where these best players always seem to be moving around. I think, you know, I get it. You do have, you know, guys like Giannis decided to stay, and Luka Doncic will eventually get a big contract with Dallas, and he'll stay. But like even a guy like LeBron, who's to say that he would definitely stay with the Lakers? Maybe he would want to cap his career off by doing something which would put him in a different category than a lot of players. What if he decided to come to New York and won a championship with the Knicks? That's not going to do something for his legacy. So I think with guys like Kevin Durant, Kyrie, they're so unpredictable. I even think the same thing with James Harden. Winning or losing, I don't know what it would do for them. I really don't. I could see them staying. I could definitely see them leaving.
Frank, we appreciate you coming on as always. I don't know if you even know this. Today is our 100th show during this 5 to 8 a.m. time slot, the morning drive. And you, without even knowing it, have been a part of some great moments of the show. RJ, can you play a couple of the great clips that we've had since Frank has come on? Early risers will get work. He's a renaissance man. You can watch him on the Nets pre and post. Yeah. Apparently, I become tongue-tied when you come on the show. Not today, though, Frank. I'm in the zone.
I only like coming on to talk hockey with Rick. That's all. We disguise it as basketball talk, but I like to talk. I get into the NHL playoffs. At least they've been a little bit better. How about it with those first couple of NBA games?
Brutal.
Charlotte, Indiana didn't grab you? Oh, my God.
No. Lakers-Warriors was good, though. And it did a big number, that Lakers-Warriors game, too.
Yeah, Stephen LeBron, who doesn't the kings of Akron, as we call them.
There you go.
Steph Curry was born in Akron, guys.
Yep.
Use that as a little trivia thing.
We got you. All right. Frank, great stuff. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon. Enjoy the postseason.
Congratulations, guys. I'll see you.
Thank you. That, of course, is the great Frank Isola.
There's another guy too. Look, he's fully invested in the NHL playoffs.
Who's not? It's awesome.
Can't get enough of it.
It is great. It is the most exciting postseason that there is.
Oh, it's so good.
So good.
It'd be nice if we won last night, but it's still, I mean, it's what,
more Bruins, exciting Capitals. Than the NFL postseason?
I think it's more exciting, yeah. Right. I mean, I would prefer to watch the NFL postseason, but I think there's something really, I mean, a different level of excitement in the NHL postseason.
Okay.
Oh, but you get the 7-game series, too. I mean, this
you
is
get
just
the
like
series.
The hatred
Capitals
builds
has
up.
Gone to overtime in every game so far.
The hatred builds up.
Oh,
I mean, yesterday he had
break his stick on the bench the other night. Oh, it's
he had
so
10
good.
Guys in the penalty box yesterday. Oh, it's
so good.
So good.
It was a great scrap.
All right, it's time. I gotta reassert my dominance here. Let's go. It's the 100th, the special edition of Getting to Know Your Co-Host.
Getting to Know You.
Getting to Know You.
On DCR.
I don't know who you are.
This is oh my God.
Ah, back again. So for this Getting to Know You, we thought it would be fun if we did a kind of a retrospective getting to know the show. So the three guys that host this fine program, how well do they know the show that they've been on for the last 100 days in this time slot?
Okay, all right.
We'll reset the scoreboard. Rick leads just by one. Rick 5, Dave and Chris both with 4.
Okay.
Okay,
losers.
So we're going to run through this same deal. 5 questions, 3 answers for each. Tell me when you need something repeated.
Okay.
All right. All things that have happened on the show, all on the air. So nothing behind the scenes, nothing you wouldn't know other than just being on the show.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Question 1. If you can't get this one, I would say to resign and go home for the day. Our first show together was on January 4th earlier this year. On that show at 7 o'clock in the morning, we had our first guest in this time slot. Who was that that guest? Mike Tannenbaum, Mike Greenberg, Damian Woody. First guest in this time slot, Tannenbaum, Greeny, Damian.
I got to be honest, I'm not 100% sure.
Come on.
That's trouble.
I'm with you. Little Morning Wood?
First show? Right on brand.
All right.
All right.
Everyone have their answers.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to try and read this better than I did the last one.
You're struggling a little bit.
I know.
Fine.
That's That'll okay. Back in February, our friend Rick lost his Twitter verification because he failed to respond to an email from Twitter. How long did Rick lose his Twitter verification for? 23 days.
My God.
28 days or 32 days? How long was Rick unverified?
That's a very tough question.
Well, it gets harder.
Great.
How long was Rick unverified on Twitter for?
He's trying to embarrass us is what he's doing. He's trying to do a great job of it.
23.
He's going to do a great job of it.
28, 32. Troubling about Rick I've come across in my time, doesn't follow me on Twitter.
Hmm. What?
Yep. Troubling.
Rick, that's an embarrassment by you.
No. Nope. I'm going to unfollow you.
You don't follow me. You won't see all the great stuff I tweet out there. No, the fact that you don't follow RJ is embarrassing for you.
His avatar is Jesus. I give him a pass.
I have to change it. I would change it, but I don't know how to shrink the picture.
it's bad with you.
A guy who can't... I give him a pass, though, sincerely, because you got unverified because you didn't respond to an email. You don't know how to change your avatar from Jesus.
Oh, my God. You're a treat, you really are.
You do get a pass. All right, everyone have their answers.
I might be 0-2. Go ahead.
That's troubling. Take the day if you go 0-2.
I'm fine doing that.
No, because then we'll have more things that sound like this.
It is not the Wednesday that Dave hates. It is the Thursday.
I don't want that. Okay. On March 25th, we had Diana Rossini on the show. Dave congratulated Diana on getting married. Now, at times, it got a little weird.
Online lurking, there's nothing wrong with it. Diana, I have been lurking.
Got a little strange. We recovered, we think. Later, Dave circled back to ask Diana if, in fact, she was creeped out by the way Dave approached the question, which sounded like this.
Diana, I have been lurking.
So if you remember, there was a pause on that follow-up. Diana responded, so, and then went into her response. How long was that pause? That seemed like forever. 2 seconds. 3 seconds or 5 seconds?
Ooh. These are not easy questions.
No.
These are very... I mean, they're nuanced questions.
Well, you're on the show every day. I have high expectations for all of you.
All right, give me the choices again.
2, 3, or 5. It seemed eternal, but it was one of those.
Okay.
All good?
All good. Did you sit there with a stopwatch or did you just count?
I went back and got the actual audio and I have the exact amount of time.
Okay. So you have it down to like the decimal point.
Yeah, but it's whatever number comes first, yeah.
Okay.
So if it's 3.4, it's 3, whatever. So in this time slot, this is question 4, there has been one guest of ours that has been dumped. That means he said something you can't say on the radio. This is not the old time slot with the Ron Hainsey special. This is 5 to 8. Who was that person? Was it Rob Ninkovich? Was it David Quinn? Or was it Joe Namath? Ninkovich, Quinn, Namath.
Ninkovich, Quinn, Namath. I will tell you right now, I'm not winning this today.
I figured this would be layup questions. This is not what I expected.
These are the opposite of layups.
Yeah, these ain't easy. At all.
Said something on the radio. You can't say.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Good?
All right.
I guess.
Question number 5. On March 2nd, we played a Price is Right game here on the show where we guessed the prices of everyday shopping items. There was an instance where Chris nailed the price by guessing $7.98. That caused Dave eventually to... say this.
Nobody guesses 98.
Which he has a fair point. But that's not the question. What was that item? Was it a bag of potatoes? Was it a package of bacon? Or a container of Lysol wipes? Potatoes, bacon, Lysol wipes.
Nobody guesses 98.
All right.
Anything repeated?
No.
I could just give me the answers in my ear, please.
Can't do that. All righty.
All right.
So.
Okay.
We'll rotate it around. Who answers first?
What would you put the over-under at for how many you got right, Rick?
Three.
Three's pretty good.
Wow. So to win that, you'd have to go 4 of 5?
Yeah.
Ugh, Rick's, you're going to win.
He's leading. He's got renewed confidence.
I would put mine at 2.
That's not much.
Sounds about right. You at 2? Yep.
Wow. Okay.
All right. We're going to move right on. Okay. Question 1. First show together, 7 a.m. First guest in this time slot. Who was that guest? Tannenbaum, Greenberg, Damian, Woody. Dave, you bet lead off here.
I'm going to go with B. Greeny.
Okay, Chris.
B. Greeny.
B. Greeny. Very confident.
Okay.
Very confident.
Green Mamba. Greeny.
That's a sweep. You're all off to a good start.
Yes. Yes.
All off to a good start. Greeny, our first guest. A nice man. We'll have him again at some point. All right, question 2. Back in February, Rick lost his Twitter verification. How long was he unverified for? 23, 28, or 32 days? We'll start with Chris on this one.
I'm going to go B, 28 days.
28 days.
28 days later, he got it back.
Dave.
It's me?
Yes, sir. That's you. You're the only Dave.
C with, what was it, 32?
32.
Yeah, C with 32.
Okay, and Rick.
I agree with Dave. I'm going 32.
Should have agreed with Chris. It was 28 days.
That is correct.
I'm done. It's over.
Oh, God, it felt good. Yeah.
Great.
How easily you all shatter. All right. Question 3. March 25th, Diana Rossini episode, we'll call it. And it was an episode. It got strange, and there was a pause. How long was that pause? Was it 2 seconds? Was it 3 seconds? Or was it 5 seconds?
Who's up first, me?
That is right.
Oh, God.
You said the first number is what you're taking, so if it was like, if it was 3 points up, then it would
it's
be three. You're not rounding up?
No, sir. First number.
The look on his face right now is,
I'm gonna
is
go two.
Priceless.
Two.
Two. That's A. So you, let's go to Chris.
Shouldn't it be Dave?
We're all over the place.
I
kind of make it up as I go.
Oh, you kind of make it up as you go? All right. I am going to go... I'm going to go with A, 2 seconds.
Okay. So Rick and Chris are at 2.
I was going to go 3, but I can't afford to lose this one, so I will match their 2 seconds as well.
That's a job well done. All correct.
Yes.
All correct. Here's how it sounded.
Did you at all take it in a negative light that I asked and was pleased and congratulated you on your nuptials?
So
2.5 seconds.
Mm.
All right.
So if you were rounding up,
it would have been 3 if I went all the way up. But that's why I clarified.
Okay.
So in this time slot, question 4, Chris has a 1-point lead.
So Chris is undefeated?
That's right.
Oh, my God.
So who was the only guest to be? I'm not going to ask you what they said. So people listening on the radio don't know this happened because it was dumped. Who's the only guest to be dumped? Ninkovich, Quinn, or Namath?
Who's up first?
Back to me, isn't
back
it?
Back to Dave.
Okay.
All right, I have my theories. I'm going to say... Oh, God. I'm going to say...
Not God.
Yeah, no, I know that. I'm going to go with... I don't know.
That's not an option.
I don't have the answer.
Well, I gave you the answer's in there. He's got to find it.
I know I'm going to get it wrong. I'm going to go...
We go somebody.
C, Namath.
All right. Chris.
That's a terrible guess.
I'm going A, Ninkovich.
Ninkovich and Namath.
Oh, here I got a chance to tie. I'm going Quinny.
Slid right in there. Was David Quinn.
Yeah, baby.
Dang it.
He said something like that, but it was a little worse.
Oh, man.
You had to dump David Quinn?
He's raw, baby.
He's raw.
It wasn't horrifying what he said, but he said a thing he can't say.
Oh. Okay. We haven't had Namath on the show yet.
No, we have.
We have.
We have had him on the show. Yeah.
Was I on the show?
No.
Okay. I didn't remember having him on the show.
Because you didn't do the interview.
He was on the show.
Yeah. No, you didn't do the interview.
All right.
Well, you know, you decide to take the day. Some of us show up for work.
All right. Dave trails by a point to Rick.
Damn it.
You're getting closer to what he said. On March 2nd, we played a Price is Right game here. Chris guessed $7.98. He exactly nailed the price of this item.
Because he cheated.
Was it a bag of potatoes, a package of bacon, or a container of Lysol wipes? And we are back to Chris here. Controls his own destiny.
I don't like it. But I'm going to go A, potatoes.
Potatoes.
Some expensive potatoes. I'm going bacon.
Bacon.
All right, the only thing I can do, now let me clarify for those listening.
So they've gone different, you trail by one, they've gone different answers.
Yeah, so I have no choice but to go with, I guess, the wipes, right?
Yep.
But I do believe, in fact, the answer was potatoes, but I'll go with the wipes.
So we've reached a point here where the game will end, because Rick and Chris have different answers. Dave, you are not correct.
Yes.
Well, I know it's potatoes.
The answer is B, bacon.
Oh, yes, what? Baby.
What?
Winner, winner, bacon dinner.
Wait a minute.
Woo!
That is correct.
There ain't no potatoes for almost 8 bucks, dum-dums.
I remember it being potatoes.
No. So potatoes were they were one of the items.
You ain't getting an $8 bag of potatoes.
I remember potatoes.
Yes, it's 59.
So Chris is right. There were potatoes involved, just not the one that was $7.98.
Do we have the audio from that?
I can
he wants
the
playback.
I need the playback.
He needs to consult the booth upstairs.
I need the replay.
He's going to use his one challenge on that one.
No, it's not. Bag of potatoes ain't $8.
First of all, I don't remember it being $8. I thought it was $5.98, not $7.98.
Well, no, but Chris, what you're misunderstanding with this question is that was the first one where Dave got suspicious because you got it, then when you continued to get it,
he got it to the exact penny of how much the stupid thing cost.
Yes. But then you attacked him for this one. And then Chris made the point, like, I know because this is at my store, the store I shop at.
Nobody guesses 98.
I feel like this was a weird misdirection by RJ in order to facilitate Rick's greatness. I feel like I was
great right
bamboozles.
Now.
Yeah,
I
completely give up. I knew I had no chance.
I am great.
The questions were brutal.
Bamboozled.
Congratulations to Rick.
I went
if
over.
If you guys want to get the audio, you can. Guess
I hit
on
the over.
PCR, appear to be the Goodyear hotline.
Disgusted. Ugh. I'm disgusted
hit the over.
Right now. Dave, I was right there with you. I thought it was potatoes all the
I
way.
I thought it was. I was confident. Yeah. I would.
Dave's
if you would have said, "Would you bet money on potatoes?" I would have bet money on it.
Yeah,
I would have bet money on it. All right, Sunday
on
NBC Network. Julius
put it in
Randall.
The books.
What happened?
No, I'm just saying, put that dub in the books.
Yeah,
just hang on to that L for me. All right, for the weekend, just hold that.
Good. It's great.
Yes.
Good. Islanders look great last night.
Oh, man. Shut your face.
Julius Randle.
You shut your face.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.